Haggai, as we continue this series, which we begun at the beginning of the year, and we will read now today verses 10 through 19. If you are following along in one of the provided Bibles, it's on page 940. Let us hear now God's holy word. On the 24th of the ninth month in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, Ask now the priests for a ruling. If a man carries holy meat in the folds of his garment, and touches bread with this fold, or cooked food, wine, oil, or any other food, will it become holy? And the priests answered, No. Then Haggai said, If one who is unclean from a corpse touches any of these, will the latter become unclean? And the priests answered, It will become unclean. Then Haggai said, So it is with this people, and so it is this nation. And so is this nation before me, declares the Lord. And so is every work of their hands, and what they offer there is unclean. But now, do consider from this day onward, before one stone was placed on the other in the temple of the Lord, from that time when one came to a grain heap of 20 measures, there would be only 10. And when one came to the wine vat to draw 50 measures, there would be only 20. I smote you and every work of your hands with blasting wind, mildew and hail, yet you did not come back to me, declares the Lord. Do consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day when the temple of the Lord was founded, consider, is the seed still in the barn, even including the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree? It has not borne fruit. Yet from this day on, I will bless you. So far, our reading in God's holy word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Beloved people of God, once again, the people are addressed by Haggai. They're addressed at this certain date to once again consider. We started off this entire series looking at that word consider. We did that at the beginning of the year. And it was providential and good that we took time to consider our ways, as the work of Haggai told us. We were to look back and look at the ways things had gone, but also to look forward and think about how God wants us to live. That's common for us as people to think about that during that coming of the new year. But there are other dates that cause us to consider, other milestones that might cause us to consider. Verse 18, it tells us that on this day, from the day when the temple of the Lord was founded, consider. It seems that the people have reached a milestone in the building process. They've reached a place in which they are now beginning to see more and more that blueprint in the outset of the temple, what it's going to look like, how far their work has progressed. And God comes to them at this time and he says once again, you need to consider. I have assessed the work that you have done and here is what I see of it. And so he comes by the word of Haggai once again and he gives them this message. He says, only defiled work can come from defiled people. Yet God blesses his chosen people. Once again, defiled work, unholy work, can only come from defiled and unholy people. Yet God blesses his chosen people. And as we look through our text this morning, we want to see how those questions show us, once again, where the heart of the people are. And they're questions applied to purity. And then they are applied to the people's works and how God has seen the work that they have done. Secondly, we look at how the people are to expect change from this point forward. To expect change. So Haggai comes yet again to these people. He comes addressing yet another problem. It seems month after month these people are falling away. First of all, they were concerned with their own comfort. They had forgotten the things of the Lord. They were not concerned with God's ways and God's things. And instead, they had devoted themselves to the comfort of themselves. Then we saw last week that the Haggai had to come again because they became disheartened as they looked to the future, which did not seem near as bright as the past. But God said, continue to work, because the future is far brighter. There is far more glory in the dwelling place that I am preparing for you than the dwelling place or the place that you see with your own eyes now. And he comes now again with these challenging questions. He comes directly to the priests. Now, why might he come to the priests? It is because the priests were in charge of knowing the laws about purity and impurity. They were to know what made something consecrated and dedicated to the Lord and holy for his service, and those things which were defiled and rejected and put outside the camp, outside God's place of blessing, away from his temple. Leviticus 10:11 says that priests are to make a distinction between the holy and the profane, between the unclean and the clean. And so teach the sons of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken to them through Moses. They were in charge of assessing these skin diseases. Was it a skin disease that exiled me? Or was it just a normal disease that we could treat and not go through a cleansing process? Was the mold and mildew on my walls, are they something that defiles the house that must be torn down and burned up? Or is it something that we don't have to go through this process and just simply wash? But verse 12 says, if a man carries holy meat in the fold of the garment. So God comes and asks this question. If a man carries holy meat in the fold of his garment and touches the bread with this fold, whether it be cooked food, wine, oil, or any other food, will it become holy? Now, this is a thing that is foreign to us. We don't quite understand. But the priests who would have known the law would have looked to Leviticus 6, where the priest would have to carry the consecrated meat. It's devoted to God, devoted to his service. It's holy and pure. And he is to carry that in the fold of his garment. And as he's going along, he tells the people, imagine if that fold touched some common food, something like stew, or pizza, or wine, or oil. Would that suddenly make that food dedicated to God? Would that convey that holiness to that piece or of common food? Would it be contaminated with holiness? Would it transfer to that? The priests answer rightly. They say, no, not at all. But then he comes with a second question. And he says, what about a man who has been defiled by death? What about a man who has touched a dead person? Death being that power of Satan. Death being that thing against God. Death being that curse against sin. Death being the power of the evil one, Satan. If that person was defiled and he went and he touched that pizza, he touched that wine, he touched that oil, would it become defiled as well? Would it be something that would need to be put outside the camp, ostracized, just as that person should be? Absolutely, they say. Absolutely. Everything that he touches becomes defiled. And so God applies this to the people. He says, so is your work. Everything that you have done has not come from a holy, devoted heart, consecrated to me. All this work is only coming from a dead person, unclean, deserving of being ostracized outside the camp, ostracized outside the community. Ostracized away from the temple, the very thing that you are building. What is the point of all this? He's telling them. So you think that by doing things that are religious and holy, that you somehow are gaining holiness? No, not at all. Just because you are involved in building this temple, just because you are involved in building and doing the things that I've told you to do, if you don't do it from a pure, devoted heart toward me, if you simply go through the motions, if you are hypocritical about it, then you have only done defiled work. And this is what I assess your work to be. Nothing but defiled. If you don't do this from a pure, devoted, consecrated heart toward God, it is only defiled work. It does not deserve blessing. It only deserves curse, separation from me, death itself. This is the assessment of God's assessment of these men's work. We too, people of God, need to be careful of our attitudes. Do we go about our religious work? Maybe just simply going through the motions. We come here this morning to church because that's what we do. It's just tradition. I don't want to disappoint my parents. Do you come because that's what I've done for my entire life? Do you go about your work teaching the catechism or the other areas such as cadets? And gems. Are those things you do with a devoted heart? Or do you do them merely out of duty? What God's called me to. Maybe then my heart will follow. Maybe then I'll become devoted to God just by merely going through the motions. If you do not do this with a devoted heart, it is only worthy of death. God does not delight in mere formalism, in going through the motions, in being involved in many religious activities, if it's not done out of a devoted heart to Him. And let's be honest, people of God. Many of us have fallen into this. Many of us merely go through the motions. We sing, but not with a devoted heart. We sing because everybody else is looking at us. But God says He wants all of us. Not just our works, but our hearts, our emotions, everything within us. We must love the Lord with all our heart, soul, and mind, and we love our neighbor because we love the Lord. But God comes to these people, to this nation, and He says you need to expect change. Expect blessing. Consider how it was before you even built this temple, He says. Before stone was upon stone. If you look back, think about how much loss you had. It says that when you went into this heap of grain, you were looking for 20 but only got 10. 50% loss. You went to the grapes and you thought you could press out 50 measures, but instead you only got 20 measures. 60% loss. This is all because I brought my curses against you. I brought my covenant curses against you, showing you that you were not right of heart. I brought hot wind which withered the plants. I brought hail which destroyed the plants. I brought a fungus that also destroyed the plants from ripening. All these things you were to see that you were not living holy lives and you needed to repent. You needed to turn to me. You needed to follow my ways, yet you did not listen. And once again, you lose what you are called to do. But He also wants them to consider the future. He says, consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, since the foundation of the temple was laid. Consider, is there seed in the barn? Indeed, the vine and the fig tree, the pomegranate and the olive tree have yielded nothing. But from this day on, I will bless you. This very day, God is going to take their defiled efforts, not worthy of blessing, and He's going to bless them. He's assessed that it is not worthy of anything but death. But I'm going to bless it anyways. How can He do that? If they have not obeyed His words, if they have not obeyed His command, if they are not following in a devoted heart, how can He bless them? How can He give them once again happiness when they deserve misery and death? It is because of Christ's work. Because what Christ has done and who He is, His holiness is contagious. He is able to convey His holiness. Think about Mark 5, where we are told that a woman was bleeding for 12 years. And because of that blood, she was considered unclean. She was ostracized, exiled from the temple, exiled from worshiping God, unable to be with God's people and experience their blessing. But she came to him and she thought, if I only touch his garment, if I could just touch him, I would be made clean. I would be healed. I could go to the priests in the temple and they could declare me clean. His holiness is contagious. He lived that completely devoted life perfectly. And then he suffered outside that camp. He was put to death for our defiled works. He shed his blood so that we might be sprinkled with it. We might be cleansed and all our work might be declared pure because of him. That his righteousness, his perfection, his devoted heart might be on us. That we might experience eternal blessing. That we might have joy in his work and dwell with him and dwell within that holy place, heaven, which we talked about last week. That wonderful description where there is no temple because God dwells with us. Face to face. So how are we to change our hearts? As I mentioned earlier, each and every one of us have probably had times in which we felt rather spiritually lethargic, not really devoted to God. Maybe coming into his house, not really anticipating and wanting to worship God to give him that service. But we do it from mere duty. And I tell you, people of God, look to him. Look to his work. Know the truth of the gospel and what he's done for you. And when you know that, when you know that for yourself, you can turn to him, ask for his spirit, trust that he will bring about a devoted heart. And though it might be now and again mixed with sin, you can also know that God will still bless that work. Not because of you, but because of his work on the cross. And once again, respond in joy. Respond knowing his love and his work for you. You can know that even when you fall, Christ is there to take your half-hearted attempts and renew them so that you might be rewarded and blessed by his wonderful work. And so, beloved children of the Lord and Jesus Christ, know that pure and holy work only comes from pure and holy heart. But we are pure and holy through Jesus Christ and his perfect devoted heart to God. Our work is only made worthy of praise through the precious cleansing or blessing through the precious cleansing of Jesus Christ. They are never able to merit that blessing. But they are blessed by the grace of God. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious and mighty God, we thank you that you have completed salvation for us, that you have done every righteous work on our behalf so that we too might find fellowship and blessing with you. So Lord, work in us a devoted heart by your Spirit and by your Word. Help us to know your wonderful salvation and to know the wonderful blessing that we have now in Christ Jesus, but also more so in heaven where we dwell with you face to face, having that perfect worship without any sin, without any suffering. We thank you, Lord, for these things, and we ask them in Jesus Christ's name alone. Amen.